We are reading from the book of Exodus, the 10th chapter, verses 21 through 29. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, so that there may be a darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness that can be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was a dense darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. People could not see one another, and for 3 days they could not move from where they were. But all the Israelites had light where they lived. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, "Go, worship the Lord. Only your flocks and your herds shall remain behind. Even your children may go with you." But Moses said, "You must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings to sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also must go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind, for we must choose some of them for the worship of the Lord our God, and we will not know what to use to worship the Lord until we arrive there." But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was unwilling to let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, "Get away from me. Take care that you do not see my face again, for on the day you see my face, you shall die." Moses said, "Just as you say, I will never see your face again." The word of the Lord.
The Second Testament lesson comes from Matthew, chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. Let us hear what God needs us to hear today. "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The word of the Lord. I want to start by giving a few names of famous people, and I want to see if you can find the common thread between them. Marsha P. Johnson, Pablo Picasso, Temple Grandin, Coco Chanel, and John Lewis. I'll read them again. Marsha P. Johnson, the woman who led the Stonewall riots. Pablo Picasso, the painter. Temple Grandin, a woman who helped to make the way that we eat animals a little bit more humane. Coco Chanel, a fashion designer, and John Lewis, the human rights activist and senator. Did you find a link? The link is that these people all thought the world could be a better place, and they devoted their lives to making their vision become a reality. Marsha saw a world where people could safely live their truth and be who they are. Picasso saw a world where art was not restrained by rules. Temple Grandin saw a world where even the animals we eat were treated fairly. Coco Chanel saw a world where what we wear said something about who we are. John Lewis saw a world where every human being could live with dignity and respect. Before each one of these people made their innovation, the lens through which they saw the world was not respected or widely held. Many more people wanted the world to be as it was. It was not until these people devoted their lives to their vision of the world that the world changed for the better. their understanding of who they were and what they were called to do made us realize that we can do better. And you can bet for every single one of them, there were those who said their worldview was off. It's against the law to dress that way, Marcia. No one will like your chaotic paintings, Pablo. You have autism, Temple. No one will listen. Women will never buy a dress that isn't corseted, Coco. Don't rock the boat, John. Just let it go. Get over it. These naysayers were probably everywhere, even in their own home. In the face of those who wanted things to stay the same, these trailblazers mustered the strength to stay on course and help make our world become what it is today. They set their vision of the world and what it could be above any earthly relationship. Their priorities are what helped them not lose focus and gave them the power to get through the tough times. Priorities is what Jesus is teaching in Matthew today. Jesus says to set God as our highest priority. And if you do that, you will find yourself on opposite sides as your loved ones. And those disagreements will feel like we are carrying a cross to our own death. It will be like dying. But keeping God as our guide will ultimately lead to a better life on earth and in heaven. These verses from Matthew can be hard to hear. Anytime Jesus is honest, it's hard to hear. We like to sit with the calm Jesus, calling the children to his side. We like to ponder beautiful parables and envision a world where peace prevails. It is harder to watch Jesus flip tables, to send people away for having little faith, and to hear Jesus say his way will require swords. Yet here we are with that Jesus today, a Jesus that does not hold any punches, who tells the whole truth. It is recorded here that the path Jesus leads us down will turn family members against one another. Enemies will arise within our own household. Sons against father, daughters against mother-in-law, we hear about families set against one another, and it sounds harsh, but we all know it's not a far-fetched scene. When Jesus' followers heard this, they also were not shocked. The idea that families would be split was not unbelievable. It was common knowledge among the Jewish community that when the day of the Lord came, families would be divided in how they reacted. They expected this. Prophets like Micah and Isaiah had warned them this is how it would play out. And they understood that God would need to be the priority in one's life, set higher than family ties, to make it out of that battle on the winning side. Of course, none of these fights happen in our families. No, we've all seen it. We've all been a part of it. It's what families do. It doesn't mean that there is love lost between us, though. Jesus is not asking us to neglect anyone, simply to set our priorities correctly. God above anyone else. We can still love our family deeply, even through great disagreement. These prophecies about families being split on the Lord's day is what Jesus is reaffirming in his message. The way to keep our bearing through the battle is to have a strong relationship with God, to notice God in the world and be aware of where God is. Knowing what God asks of us and what God requires of us will help us when the people around us think our worldview is off. people will disagree with the vision that God has given us. But if we can stop and say, is this still the path that God is leading us on? Then we'll always find the right way forward. Jesus says he has brought a sword for this battle. And when Paul tells us to put on the armor of God, the sword is the word of God. It is the word that helps us have that top-notch relationship with God. It helps us get to know what God's vision is for the world. It helps us see that vision that we are supposed to devote our lives to making a reality. And with the word in hand, we can check if what we're fighting for is in Scripture. Does this path seek justice? Does this path love mercy? Does this path allow me to walk humbly? Does this path love love and hate hate? The answers we get from the word are the ones we are to follow, regardless of family descent. This is not a small task, for sure. Jesus is saying we need to know God better than we know our spouses, our children, and our parents. To stay true to what God calls us to requires a sword. It requires sacrifice. It requires trust. It requires extensive discomfort to the point of carrying our own cross, to the point of losing the life others run after to gain a life in the kingdom. No wonder Jesus has to make this point about setting our priorities. It is much easier to follow the people around us than it is to follow God. It's easier to build relationships with people. It's easier to follow their worldview. So we need to be reminded who we serve, reminded who we have committed our lives to follow. One might ask, whatever happened to honoring our mother and father? Again, Jesus is not asking us to cut ties with anyone. There is, however, a difference between honoring someone and agreeing with them. And I think Moses does this very well in our first lesson. Moses has debated with Pharaoh over a period of time. He has gone back multiple times to argue for the people, and every time Pharaoh has sharpened his argument and demanded more proof. And every time God helps Moses meet those demands. In the exchange we read today, Moses has done all he can to get through to Pharaoh and has endured enough. He has set a strong boundary to keep God's vision alive and to keep himself on the path forward. He does this by engaging good boundaries and clearly knowing the difference between rude behavior, mean behavior, and bullying behavior. When Moses goes to Pharaoh this time, the leader of Egypt starts by agreeing to let the people go out into the wilderness to worship God. But their livestock need to stay behind. This is rude behavior. It is offensive to Moses because it denies a true worship experience for the people. Moses stays calm and explains to Pharaoh that they will need to make some sacrifices from those livestock, and they won't know which ones or how many until they get into the worship setting. Moses gives Pharaoh the benefit of the doubt and offers a correction to the rude behavior. Instead of learning and understanding, Pharaoh revokes his goodwill and lashes out at Moses. This is mean behavior. Pharaoh now knows better, but refuses to change the offer. He intentionally offends Moses and refuses to change his rude behavior once educated. In fact, because this behavior is in line with a pattern of repeated aggressiveness towards Moses, we have crossed into bullying territory. This is it for Moses. He sets a firm boundary. He will not be back to talk to Pharaoh. He will not see his face again. He will not be treated like that anymore. Moses is willing to correct rude behavior and forgive someone who's willing to change their ways. Moses was willing to endure the mean attacks, but the minute Moses connects the dots and saw a pattern of aggression, he was out. He would not endure a bully. Knowing the difference between rude, mean, and bullying behavior will help us set boundaries. Knowing what we are willing to put up with to move God's vision forward will help us navigate disagreement and conflict in a loving and honorable way. Now, most of our arguments will come over a difference of opinion, so I want to demonstrate that for you. Cindy's going to help me. I have a number here. Cindy, what number do you see? Cindy says she sees a 6. I see a 9. Now, we have a very drastic difference of opinion. And if we had a good conversation over this, you can sit down, Cindy, thank you. If we had a good conversation about this, we would ask each other questions. We would wonder about how they got to their conclusion. We may even get to a point where we can exchange places and see the world from the other person's point of view. Neither one of us are wrong. We just have a differing opinion that needs to be talked out. Now, if I would have said to Cindy, "That's wrong, how could you possibly think that way?" That would be rude of me. If I had gone on social media and told the world that Cindy doesn't know her numbers, that would be mean. And if I repeatedly brought up the conversation in a mocking way or aggressively called Cindy names, that would be bullying. Opinions do not need to be argued out with rude, mean, or bullying behavior. These three things are important distinctions for us to understand, that when we engage in a conversation over a difference of opinion, we can make sure we're not crossing any boundaries. So rude is when someone accidentally hurts someone's feelings. The statement or action is not made with the intent to hurt. It often comes from a place of simply not knowing how the words or actions will be felt. When someone is rude, it usually only takes an honest response to correct the behavior. For example, I use the word crazy a lot. But recently, a friend told me that that word holds a lot of pain because she has been called crazy because of a mental illness. I apologized immediately and asked her if she wanted to share her story with me. After hearing her out, I am now working to be better. I still slip up, but I can hear myself saying that word in a different way because I've been educated on how other people hear that word. I can correct myself and find a different, more descriptive word to use. Mean is when someone intentionally says or does something to hurt another. There is an active aggression in when someone is mean. And depending on the level of meanness, we may be able to help the other person become kinder, or we may set up a boundary to protect ourselves. We can say, "I'm willing to be called this or that," and offer an honest response about how it hurts me twice. After that, I'm going to leave the conversation because it's clear the person is not ready to hear my feelings. Or we can set a boundary of, "I'm willing to stand verbal attacks to help someone see the world in another way, but if it turns physical, I will leave." Setting boundaries like this before we get into the discussion will help us know our limits when we get to them. We don't have to process in the moment. We can leave the minute we want to. Bullying is a repetitive, aggressive, and intentional attack on someone. Patterns of meanness are bullying behavior. Bullying sometimes will even happen after we have left the situation. And when someone is bullied, they often hide because they feel like they have done something to deserve the repeated attacks. Let's make the boundary now as a community that we will not tolerate our people suffering an attack of a bully alone. The best way to defend against the bully is to gather people around the victim. When I went through bystander training, they gave me the example of someone being harassed on a subway for wearing a hijab. And they taught us that simply going over and sitting with the person in the hijab can be enough to switch the situation. No need to talk to them or engage the bully. Simply putting our bodies closer to the victim can shift the dynamic enough for someone to stop. Understanding these three words, rude, mean, and bullying, can help us set honorable boundaries around the disagreements that we may have with loved ones. If someone violates a boundary, that's rude, but we can calmly inform them of our boundaries so that they know better. Like Moses did when he taught Pharaoh about the sacrifice during the worship situation. If someone knows our boundary and still violates them, that's mean. Once Pharaoh learned the rules, he still ignored the needs of the people. And if someone repeatedly violates our boundaries, like Pharaoh had throughout his discussions with Moses, that is bullying. And that is when Moses sets a boundary to not converse with a bully any longer. And I would say it's a good boundary for us all to set. Bullies aren't ready to listen anyway. There can be any number of boundaries we can set for ourselves. We can even sit down with our families to discuss what the house rules will be. We can say we only talk about a controversial subject for 30 minutes and then we change the subject. Or no politics on Christmas. Bring it all on the 4th of July. Boundaries help us clear up that extra anxiety too. We don't have to worry if the conversation will go too far, so we can be calmer in the moment, keeping our voices and body language more peaceful. If we have a different worldview than loved ones, there are going to be arguments. We can't avoid a topic completely. Boundaries help us have these conversations in a loving and respectful way. I wish Jesus had said it would be cupcakes and rainbows, but we got a sword. We also got a promise that if we keep our relationship with God strong, we will change the world. Our relationship with God gives us what those trailblazers, those world changers had. They understood what their worth was. They understood what they were called to do, so much so that if someone stood in their path, they knew how to get around them in an honorable and respectful way. So let us pray for that relationship with God to be our priority for all of those battles ahead. Let us pray. God, we thank you for people who have seen your image within them and seen your vision for the world. We thank you for those people who have devoted their lives to make that a reality. We pray that we are able to see your image within us and understand our calling so clearly. We pray that we are able to honor the people that we have disagreements with, that we are able to set boundaries for them and for us, that will keep our relationship strong, but will keep our relationship with you even stronger. Help us in the battles ahead. Let us know the words and the actions that will make your world become a reality. Amen.